It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Imagine moving into a new home, a place that should feel like a fresh start, a place that promises safety and security. But what if the walls of that home were hiding something dark? What if the house itself felt alive? On tonight's episode, we delve into the unsettling story of a young child who, along with their family, moves into an apartment building that seems anything but ordinary. A building with strange, windowless rooms, faint whispers in the night, and an eerie presence that just won't go away. The protagonist's experiences, which began as simple misgivings about an old building, soon spiral into a psychological nightmare that will leave you questioning what's real and what's not. Is this the work of a troubled mind or something more supernatural? As they try to make sense of the growing unease, a figure appears, one who doesn't belong, a boy in blue. Who is he? And why does he keep returning? Could the mind be playing tricks, or is there a malevolent force at work? What lurks behind the walls of this building? Let's get to the letter they write. Dear Tony, when I was about 10 years old, my mother and her husband moved us about three towns over to an apartment that was like none I'd ever seen. It wasn't the kind of place you'd look at and immediately think, home. The building itself felt wrong, off. It was four floors tall, with three apartments per floor, each connected by narrow, dimly lit hallways that always smelled faintly of mildew and something metallic. One of the bedrooms in our unit had no windows at all, just blank walls on every side. My bedroom was slightly better, or so I thought. It had a small window near the ceiling, but it didn't lead outside. Instead, it opened into a narrow shaft that connected to similar windows in other apartments. Through that window, I could hear people talking, yelling, or laughing at all hours, their voices bouncing and echoing in a way that made it hard to tell where they were coming from. Sometimes I'd catch snippets of conversations that made no sense, words I didn't understand, like a language I'd never heard before. The whole building gave off this feeling that respectable people didn't live there. Most of the tenants were rough around the edges, loud, confrontational, and not the kind you'd want to cross paths with after dark. Even as a kid, I picked up on this. It wasn't just the people, though. The building itself felt alive, like it was watching us somehow. When summer came, my stepdad flew his kids out from Arizona to spend the season with us. That's when things started to change. His oldest daughter, Jenna, and I quickly bonded. She slept on the couch in the living room, which was right next to the kitchen. My bedroom was off the kitchen, and my brother Kevin's room was down the hallway. One night, I was supposed to be asleep, but I was sitting up in bed reading. The door to my room was open just enough to let in the faint glow of the kitchen light. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Kevin walk past my door. Or at least, I thought it was him. He was the right height, with the same build and dark hair. I didn't look up directly, but I heard the familiar creak of the floorboards under his feet. I thought to myself, he's going to get in trouble. Because he wasn't supposed to be out of bed that late, but he never walked back past my door. A few minutes later, Jenna came into my room. She looked pale, her eyes wide. "Did you see someone come into the living room?" she whispered. "Yeah, Kevin just went out there," I said, already feeling a knot of worry forming in my stomach. Jenna shook her head, her voice trembling. "He's not out there." words sent a chill down my spine. I got up and peeked into the kitchen, expecting to find Kevin hiding behind the table or in one of the corners, but the kitchen was empty. That's when we heard it, the sound of footsteps coming from the hallway. Slow, deliberate steps heading toward Kevin's room at the end of the hall. We froze, listening as the footsteps stopped, followed by the distinct squeak of the bathroom door across from Kevin's room. The door creaked shut, and we heard the faint click of the latch. I don't know why, but neither of us could move. We just stood there, staring down the dark hallway, waiting for something else to happen. When nothing did, we finally worked up the courage to look. The bathroom door was wide open, so was Kevin's bedroom door. No one was there. I wanted to scream. Jenna grabbed my hand and bolted back to the living room. I ran to my bed, threw the covers over my head, and didn't move for the rest of the night. The next morning, I told my mom what had happened. She waved it off, saying it was just an old building and old buildings made noises. I tried to believe her, but Jenna and I both knew what we'd seen, or more accurately, what we hadn't seen. Over the next few weeks, we started noticing other strange things. The voices from the shaft outside my window became more frequent, but I could never figure out where they were coming from. They were always just low enough that I couldn't make out the words, but there was something unsettling about them. They didn't sound normal. At night, I'd hear faint creaks and whispers as if someone or something was moving around the apartment when everyone else was asleep. My mom kept insisting it was all in my head, but the feeling of being watched was constant. I stopped sleeping with the lights off, and Jenna started staying up late, too nervous to fall asleep in the living room by herself. It was around this time that I began to notice shadows, small, fleeting things that darted just out of sight like they were playing games with me. At first, I thought it was just my imagination, but the more I tried to ignore them, the more often they seemed to appear. It wasn't until I moved into the bedroom at the end of the hall that things took a darker turn. After my older brother Chris and his family moved in, I was given the bedroom at the end of the hallway. It was smaller than my old room, and its single window looked out onto an alley that was always dark, no matter the time of day. The room felt colder than the rest of the apartment, like the walls themselves held onto a deep chill. I tried to settle in, but something about that room didn't feel right. The first night I woke up suddenly, unsure why. I glanced around the room, my eyes adjusting to the faint light spilling in from the hallway. That's when I saw him. He was standing in front of the closet, a boy around my age, maybe a little older. His face was turned downward so I couldn't see his features, but his bright red hair stuck out from under a blue baseball cap. He wore a white t-shirt and jeans, and his sneakers were scuffed, like he'd been running around all day. He didn't move. He didn't say anything. He just stood there, his hands in his pockets, staring at the floor. My breath caught in my throat. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I watched as he slowly turned and walked toward the door. My heart was pounding so loudly I thought it would burst out of my chest. The door was closed, but it didn't matter. He walked right through it, disappearing into the hallway without making a sound. I stayed frozen in bed until the sun started to rise. I told myself it had to be a dream, a trick of my mind, as I woke up. But deep down, I knew it wasn't. The next day, I didn't tell anyone. What could I say? That I saw a boy walk through my door? My mom would have just blamed it on my imagination again. So I kept quiet, hoping it was an isolated event. It wasn't. Over the next few weeks, the boy appeared again and again. Sometimes I'd wake up to find him standing near the closet, always in the same clothes, always with his head bowed. Other times I'd catch glimpses of him in the corner of my eye, only to turn and find the room empty. He never spoke, never looked at me directly. Jenna started noticing things too. She said she felt like someone was watching her when she was alone in the living room. One night, she woke up to the sound of whispering. At first, she thought it was coming from the shaft outside her window, but when she listened closer, she realized it was inside the room with her. The whispers grew louder, more insistent, until she bolted off the couch and turned on every light in the apartment. By the time I woke up, she was sitting in the kitchen with all the lights blazing, her knees pulled up to her chest. That was the night she started sleeping with a knife under her pillow. Things escalated quickly after that. Objects started moving around the apartment. Small things at first, keys disappearing, a book falling off the table, but then it became more noticeable. The TV would turn on by itself, the volume blaring. Doors would slam shut even when there was no draft. One night, Jenna and I were sitting in the living room talking about the boy in blue. She was convinced he was trying to tell us something, though neither of us could figure out what. As we talked, the light in the living room flickered, then went out completely. The room plunged into darkness, and for a moment, neither of us moved. Then we heard it. The faint sound of a child laughing. It wasn't a happy laugh. It was low, distorted, and it sent chills down my spine. We grabbed each other and ran to my mom's room, banging on the door until she woke up. We told her everything, the boy, the whispers, the laughter. She finally agreed to let us leave, but it wasn't as easy as just packing up and going. The disturbances got worse as we prepared to move. The night before we left, Jenna was in the living room when she felt something cold brush past her. She swore she saw a shadowy figure dart out of the corner of her eye, heading toward the hallway. When we finally moved out, we left most of our furniture behind. None of us wanted to take anything from that place. Years later, I looked up the history of the building. There weren't any official records of a boy dying there, but there were plenty of rumors. Some said a red-haired boy fell into the well between the apartments decades ago. Others claimed he was pushed. To this day, I still don't know what he wanted or why he kept appearing. Maybe he was trapped there, unable to move on. Or maybe he was something else entirely. All I know is that I'll never forget the way he looked, the bright red hair, the baseball cap, the way he silently walked through that door. I haven't seen him since we left, but sometimes, late at night, I think I hear the faint sound of footsteps outside my bedroom door. Thanks for the time, Emily. Stories like this one leave us with more questions than answers, don't they? Was Emily and her family dealing with the spirit of a restless child, a boy trapped in a place where tragedy struck decades ago? Or could the strange events in that apartment have been fueled by something deeper? Something tied to the building itself. Psychologically speaking, there's the possibility that the experiences were a mix of sleep disturbances and environmental factors. Old buildings often make strange noises, and drafts can slam doors or cause objects to shift unexpectedly. Hypnopompic hallucinations like the one Emily describes occur during the transition from sleep to wakefulness and can feel incredibly real. Combined with the eerie layout of the building and the family's mounting anxiety, it's easy to see how fear could amplify these experiences. But then, there are details that are harder to explain. The consistency of the boy's appearance, the way he moved through closed doors, and the shared experiences between Emily and Jenna point to something beyond rational explanation. Paranormal enthusiasts might argue that the boy was a residual haunting, a tragic imprint left behind, endlessly replaying the same actions. Others might suggest he was an intelligent presence trying to communicate or warn them of something. What lingers most is the boy's silence. Was he trying to share his story? Was he searching for help? Or was his presence simply a manifestation of the building's dark history, a reflection of its unsettling energy? Whatever the explanation, one thing is clear. Some places hold on to their secrets tightly, are refusing to let go even after the people who live there have moved on. It's easy to dismiss stories like this as overactive imaginations or the tricks of a creaky old building, but maybe, just maybe, there's more to them than meets the eye. Thanks for listening, and as always, remember, not every door is meant to be opened and not every story has a resolution. Until next time, stay curious. And stay safe.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.